what was it like?
I mean, yeah, what was like working for Goldberg? Remember any stories about?
Well, how I come to get in with Jack Goldberg.
Yeah, tell me that story.
Mamie Smith was a blues singer.
Yeah.
You heard of her?
Mm-hmm.
They had a lot of stars.
She's from my hometown, Cincinnati.
But, yeah, there was Mamie Smith, Trixie Smith, Bessie Smith. Remember? All them Smiths was blues singers. Well, this particular Smith, Mamie Smith, lived in my house when I was growing up, at the boarding house where my mother had. You understand? And Jack Goldberg was going to marry Mamie Smith. You understand? So he used to come to my house and to see Mamie. And I don't know really whether they was married or not, but he stayed there with her all the time.
Yeah,
so
Tucker said they were. Yeah,
so, well, you know I'm not lying now. Anyway, so they took, that's how I come to get in with Goldberg, see, and Mamie and them. That's how they took me.
Well, that Paradise in Harlem is like a boarding house show. I mean, Mamie's running
Mamie's
this boarding house.
From, like, my mother's house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder if they used that as a kind of a... kind of a model for that.
He could have.
Because he used to come there, did you say?
The Goldberg?
Yeah.
Yeah, he came there. Sure, he stayed there all the time. It was a boarding house. He stayed there all the time. He was a nice guy, that Jack Goldberg.
Now, when you were working for him in those shows, did you have an agent then, or did he just...
No, just Jack Goldberg.
It was all word of mouth,
no,
kind of?
Yeah.
Oral contracts and everything?
Yeah. Nice.
Francine was telling me that she worked for him, too.
She worked, did she?
She made this thing called Dirty Gertie. Dirty Gertie from Harlem, USA.
Oh, Francine did?
Yeah.
I didn't know.
Yeah, she started that.
She sang
a couple songs, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I met Francine after she had married Rex Ingram.
Yeah.
Her name was Francine Everett, but I didn't know that well.
So, do you remember, can you tell me any stories about the production of... Paradise in Harlem. Do you remember how that? What was your role in that? Can you recall that?
I was working in the nightclub. I was singing a song.
Uh-huh.
Mm. In the club, they had a cabaret scene there. They had a lot of chorus girls, but I was never in the chorus part. I was always a principal.
Yeah.
Everything
yeah.
I did, I was a principal.
So were you involved in the plot as well?
Yeah, it was.
How?
I think that was Lucky Millinder. Wasn't it Lucky Millinder? Band, I think that's Lucky Millinder. Where I was singing Touch Through the Junction Flood.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was Lucky Millinder.
He went to Florida with y'all.
He went down there to Florida with us. Yeah, Lucky Millinder. That's who had the band then.
Now, if I recall correctly, this story revolves around Frank Wilson.
Yeah.
Who helped write that. Yeah. And he was like,
he was in Green Pastures.
Yeah, he was, yeah. And he did some stuff for Michaud as well, too.
Yeah, he did for Michaud, yeah.
Yeah.
He died, too.
He was kind of special, I always thought, because he apparently was one of the better writers.
Yeah,
he had written a number of things.
Yes,
and,
he did.
I think he worked with Orson Welles and those things, those people at the Federal Theater Project, at the Lafayette.
WPA. Yeah, he was in all of those things.
Now, during this time, did you continue to live at your mother's house?
Yeah.
So you were always within shouting distance
right
of the Lafayette?
There. Yeah, right there.
Baskin
Models used to come there all the time. You heard of them.
Yeah.
And Sarah, that's how Sarah and Tuck Whitney and them got in Green Pastures, coming from my house. One of them was the Angels, you know, in the
uh-huh.
Green Pastures. They brought that show there. They brought it. Willie Bryan and them came there. Yeah, so I know them.
Now, you're saying that Goldberg on this picture, the source of his backing was this colonel, but you don't remember his name.
No, I don't know his name, but we called him the colonel. But he's the one that just, you know, gave the money to bring us down.
Now, can you recall what kind of money were you getting then?
A little better than that, $150, something like that.
A week?
But a week. But we didn't have to pay our room or nothing.
Mm-hmm.
They fed us and they paid the room and their transportation and everything. So that was the way that went. So that was pretty good for that $150.
Now, this production company, who directed that piece?
Goldberg directed it.
Okay.
Jack Goldberg. There was two Goldbergs. There was Bert and Jack, two brothers.
Yeah.
Remember?
Yeah. Now, were the other people on the set, I'm talking about the technicians and people like that mostly, were those mostly all white people too?
Everybody white but the players.
Did Did you ever have any trouble
with the people on the set?
People on the set?
No. Well, they were the Colonel's people, and they better than everybody. This
Hello.
Is my sister Vivian Harris.
Vivian, hi.
Yeah, Vivian.
I'm Richard Rubin.
Yeah.
Good reach.
That's the voice of the Apollo Theater. She used to be the voice of the Apollo Theater.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That's who that Vivian is. Yeah. Coming attractions and all. She
I've
worked with this gentleman for years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I'm going up there. They don't like it, the
bitch. That's Mr. Trumpet in Temple.
Yeah.
Yeah, and she worked in the quality years, from the front to the back. Tim Moore,
uh-huh.
Pigmy, everybody. In your bed. Huh?
Girl,
Original Cotton Club, girl. That's how we went over to the, that's how we got over to the studio in Astoria. Vivian.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she talked about the Cotton Club. She did research on that, because she was one of the Original Cotton Club girls.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
When they did that show, did you... talk to people like you about the background of that. I think they did a Cotton Club about 4 or 5 years ago, that movie.
Yeah, the movie.
Yeah. Is that what you were saying? You were over there for that?
Yeah, they called us up and told us. I wasn't in the Cotton Club, but Vivian was in the Cotton Club. But they called us and asked us to come over there.
And what to
research.
Be like research consultants? So
yeah, that's right. Vivian, not me, because I didn't know anything about that.
Mm-hmm.
I was doing other things, you know, Vivian was in.
So now with Goldberg, everything was, everybody got along, right?
Oh, everybody got along fine.
Because you see, what I'm beginning to find out is that in some of the books and things about the history of
mm-hmm.
People, about the history of these black cast movies in particular, some people are making the charge that there was like exploitation
mm-hmm.
By whites, these white people. Who were running these things, and I'm finding that that's not the case because everybody that I met who worked with Goldberg said he was a great guy.
Oh, he was.
Yeah.
Wasn't he, Bill?
Oh, yeah.
Jack and Bert, wasn't they fine people?
But whatever happened to these people?
They died. They just died.
Whatever happened to all of the
died off. That's all.
Films and everything they had?
I don't know.
Well,
you know these some of these pictures that they found about me? That somebody found them way down south in the warehouse.
Yeah, Texas.
Did you know that?
That was about 3 or 4 years ago.
Yeah, and I said, I wonder how they found all these things hidden away like
yeah,
this.
Yeah, and I'm convinced that there are others around, and other
yeah.
attics or warehouses.
Yeah,
or something,
there's some of someplace.
Of all the Michaud pictures.
Yeah, okay.
Of all the Michaud pictures he made about.
Nice meeting
you. Yeah, nice meeting you. He made about 40 pictures, and there's only about 8 or 10 left.
Mm-hmm.
But somewhere they must be around.
They must be around somewhere.
Yeah.
I don't know. I haven't got any, because all I did was work for them, and I
never did anything. Now, on a Michaud show, what was the typical number of days that you would do a show? You said before you did two.
We said we'd shoot 2 or 3 pictures in a week.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like I said, that nowadays they take so long to make one scene.
Now these pictures were not as long as they are today either. They were about an hour long or so from this. Yeah.
90 minutes now. But they was about 60 minutes then, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They wasn't as long as they are
now. Now, were these white producers like Michaud, I mean like Goldberg, obviously if he was involved with Mamie Smith and so forth, they were in tune with black issues and the problems of black life and so forth,
mm-hmm.
I'm assuming.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. She wasn't accepted every place, if that's what you mean, because she was married to him.
Oh, yeah? Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, but he'd say, well, this is my wife, and she's going to come in here with me. You know, one of those things. Yeah,
you mean
different,
like?
Different, not the one we were working, but I mean, like, you'd go out someplace or something.
Oh,
you know how it was then.
Nightclub or something?
Yeah, that's right.
Huh. So
was
he was very open about that.
Oh, yeah. He didn't care. He's a Jew, you know. He didn't care.
So they're all dead, these guys.
No, they're all dead.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Somewhere, somebody got all that stuff.
Somebody got it somewhere.
Now, do you know anything about where these things were put together as far as the labs and editing and stuff like that is concerned? Do you know
mm-hmm.
anything
the
about
the finishing
that?
Touches?
Yeah. As I'm thinking, one of the ways that, you know, there could be some lab stuff around someplace.
I don't know.
Did you ever go to, did you say you went to see the show on St. Nicholas?
St. Nicholas Avenue.
Avenue. And I think later on he had an office in his hotel.
That's where he lived.
Yeah. What was that like? What did that look like?
His house?
Yeah.
Well, he had an apartment. I think it was 4 or 5 rooms. I saw him and his wife. I saw him.
Yeah. Anything
He didn't take any pictures in there.
Yeah. Anything special that you remember about that place?
About that place? Yeah. In those days, you know how it was. I mean, the furniture wasn't so good. It was like ghetto, you know, it wasn't nice at all.
But at the same time, didn't he, at least for a while when things were good, he was riding around in a pretty big car and had a chauffeur.
He had a car.
And people tell the story about how he used to go down south and distribute his pictures and he'd wear, fancy clothes and everything.
Because I know he took us to Richmond, Virginia, and he rode around in his car and he gave out these flyers and these leaflets and things about the picture coming to Harlem to Hollywood. That was the name of the little review that he took around. I was in that.
Oh, yeah? This was a live thing?
And this was a live thing. And every time that he'd show one of the pictures, he'd bring one of the stars from one of his pictures to make a personal appearance.
Uh-huh.
He'd show the picture, and then all I'd have to come out to say hello to the people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he'd say, this is the star of my picture. And like that, that's the way you exploit it.
So did you sign autographs and so on?
Yeah, like that.
Now tell me about this Harlem to Hollywood. Was that a review or what?
Harlem to Hollywood, that was the name of it.
Yeah.
But it wasn't exactly a review. It was the pictures that he would show.
The movies.
He'd bring these pictures around, lying lips and all those like that, and have them shown in this place in Richmond or wherever he went, all through the South. And each time he went, he would have like maybe Carmen Newsom, he would appear with his picture.
Mm-hmm.
And then this one would appear on Tucker, he mm-hmm. would be up here, you know, mm-hmm. anybody. So they'd have a little attraction
mm-hmm.
to that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was all.
Now, were these in all, let's talk about movie houses for a second. Were these in movie houses that were movie houses solely for black people?
Black people, because the other ones didn't want to take them.
Yeah.
He had a hard time. He couldn't get them in the white theaters.
But there were times, I understand, where they used to do these things called, what they call them, midnight rambles or something.
Yeah, midnight shows.
They'd clear the white theater out, and then in the evenings, the blacks could come in.
In Atlanta, it was like that.
Yeah.
They had our white screen on, and they had a black screen on. They had two screenos. You remember when they was having screenos?
Screeno? No, I never heard of that.
You don't remember that?
No.
Well, it was like when you went to the movies, they had prizes to give out.
Yeah.
You understand, and you spin a wheel on the stage, you know.
Oh yeah.
And they call that screeno.
Screeno.
Yeah, and instead of having white people and the colored people together with the screeno, they'd have a white screeno up downstairs and a black screeno upstairs. But we all be the same screeno. I didn't see no difference, you know. So if you won a prize, you had to stay up there and get your prize, you know. And the white people got their prize downstairs. It was so silly. And then in San Antonio, Texas, they had Mexican screeno. Color screener and white screener, all in the same theater.
And were the audiences segregated?
Yeah. If you went in for the white screener, you had to go downstairs. You went for the black screener, you went like upstairs. Mexican screener, you went over there, but it's still the same screener. That was intense.
So everybody was watching the same.
No, had three different wheels.
Three different wheels?
Yeah, like you had a wheel over in that corner. That's you Mexican over there.
Oh.
You black over here, white over here. Isn't that silly? Isn't that silly? But they had it. Oh, it was so funny. So if you hollered screeno, you had to stay right up there and get your whatever money you got right up there. It was foolish. It just shows to show you how stupid people were in those days. You know,
yeah.
It was stupid. But nobody paid no attention to it because that's the way it was and that's the way it is. You know what I mean? Of course, I didn't know no difference because my mother was white.
Oh,
she was looking at my sisters. I'm the back seeing my family.
Oh.
You know, so she was. My father was coming. But anyway, and I didn't know the difference. You know, it didn't mean a thing to me. Flood, what are you eating, peanuts?
I had peanuts.
Okay, now were you...
wipe your mouth.
Were you... when these films were being shown, I'm talking mostly about the Michaud films, I guess. Now.
Mm.
Were you... How did you feel about them personally? I mean, were you happy making them?
I laughed. It was fun to me.
Yeah.
This is the first time I'd ever been in anything like that, and I thought it was great, you know. I said, oh, like to see yourself on the screen, It was just lovely.
Did you ever think about going back to teaching school or going back to school?
No. Oh.
Once you started?
To be a teacher. My mother wanted me to be a teacher, but I never did get to do that. I just kept on going to school. And then in Green Pastures, they had a tutor on there. We had about 15 children in Green Pastures, so they had a teacher that would teach us, come over around, you know, with your lessons and things. They had the cherubs, what they called the cherubs. So that's what they had there, teaching kids.
Were you proud to be identified with these shows?
Oh, yes.
Yeah?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
It was fun to me. You never thought about having any money or saving any money. You couldn't save any money because as soon as you got paid, your mother would come in and take all the money. They'd probably give you $2 to buy a Hershey bar or candy or something like that, you know. But they would come there. If you got $75, she'd take the $70 and go on home with you. You didn't get nothing. you know, Flood. Mm-hmm. Didn't they used to do that?
Tell me about your mother. Where was she from?
Do you remember? Well, she was from, where was she born? She was born down south somewhere. No, Jersey. Over here, Jersey. Yeah, she was born in Jersey here. Because I remember she was the first one that brought us over here to Fort Lee. The man wanted some people to make a picture. And when we were small, they made a picture like they were, what was the name of that thing? Doing the cakewalk. Remember they used to do cakewalk?
Mm-hmm.
And they wanted some kids to walk in the cakewalk with bandanas on it and aprons and all. And my mother got us, Lily Russell told my mother about it. And she got us all together. And I was a little teeny thing then. And came over here to Fort Lee on the boat. We all made a picture. Right back in Fort Lee. I never thought I'd be living over here then.
Now that was, I guess most of the companies had left for Hollywood already.
Yeah, that was years ago. That was a long time. We made some pictures. Everybody was like,
How old were you, like 5 years old?
Five or six, yeah, like that. Oh, I was small, because I was watching with Mama. She had us.
How did she get involved with Lillian Russell again?
I don't know. I just, she was a maid.
Her maid?
Yeah, in the dressing room.
Oh, I see, like a dresser.
Yeah, she liked a dresser.
Uh-huh. Now, how long did she work for her?
Oh, Jesus. She worked a long time for her. Until she died.
How did she meet your father? Did you get my father? Yeah. How did your father and mother meet?
I don't know. Yeah, how they were. No.
And you were the baby of the family?
I was the baby.
Were they all girls?
Seven of us. Seven girls.
Seven girls.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And they were all in show business?
My oldest sister, Lottie, she was in a show they used to call How Come. It was a show. And Running Wild.
Oh, yeah?
Shows like that to go down on Broadway. Yeah, she was in those kind of shows. She was musical comedy.
Yeah, that was early on.
Oh, that was way then.
Yeah.
And Vivian, she was in Blackbirds and things like that, Shuffle Along and all those kind of shows, but I wasn't in
them. She was in Shuffle Along?
Well, Vivian, yeah. Wasn't Vivian in Shuffle Along? Blackbirds, she was in.
Yeah, Blackbirds, Shuffle Along.
Shuffle Along, yeah.
Running Wild, too.
Yeah, and the Cotton Club, original Cotton Club girl.
Wow.
That's when the Cotton Club was on Lenox Avenue there in 142nd Street. But the picture that they showed was nothing, Vivian said, like it was. Our Flood.
No.
They didn't have all those gangsters doing things.
It was nothing like it was. Yeah, I told them.
No.
The Cotton Club was nothing like what they depicted in the picture.
No. Remember when we went there, Coppler asked us about the setting there. He was what's his name, Frank Coppler? The director?
Coppola.
Coppola, yeah. Well, His son got killed since then, you know. His son was helping on the picture.
Yeah.
He got killed. But anyway, we told him, we said, it was nothing like this, the way you got it here.
Well, I mean, the general setup in the Cotton Club, when they get the same landscaping and everything, it was done. That was pretty good like it was. But I mean, the actual events that took place during the Cotton Club period, and was nothing like that. How they had the gangsters and stuff.
Yeah.
How they had the gangsters and stuff going together, the Dutch shows and
all them people. And then they came to my house on 131st Street there and made a scene running up my steps there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in Harlem right now, just the house we have there.
Oh yeah.
And they made a picture.
Nothing like
no.
They,
Yeah, that was the criticism of the show.
And all of those old-time automobiles and things that they had running up and down in front of the house. Remember, Flood?
Oh, yeah, I'm talking about the events that took place. That
took place.
It wasn't right, as far as I'm concerned.
Mm-mm. Tell me about, during the Cotton Club, during the big years of the Cotton Club, late 20s, you know, when it was really starting to cook in there. Were blacks barred from that? Could you go in there and sit down and have a drink?
No.
You couldn't?
No way.
I had never been in there, so I didn't know.
Some of the big shots used to come in there, but they would sit them way over on the side. They had a
performers, you mean?
Yeah, Ethel Waters, Bill Robinson.
Yeah, well, people like
Jack
that.
Jack Johnson.
Anybody that was somebody.
Big time, you know, fighters and like that. But the ordinary people from the street, no way.
Yeah, because it was mostly for white people coming up and
smelling. Yeah, big time stars from Hollywood and the big time was gangsters from, you know, all that stuff. You know.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'd never been up there. I wouldn't even consider
it. See, now, Tucker told me, he said that he could get in, and of course, I guess he was light enough so he could pass.
Yeah, I guess so. They probably didn't know him.
What were some of the other places around there that you can recall? Do you remember any of the other? Like,
Smalls,
you
mean?
Smalls.
Well, Connie's was the same way, wasn't it, Flood?
Oh, you could go down.
You could go in Connie's.
Go in Smalls.
I had never been in Connie's either. My sisters worked down in Connie's, in the chorus, you know, my sister, she's dead now, one of them down in Connie's. Vivian was Cotton Club, and Lorraine was a Connie's Inn girl, she worked there. They didn't associate. Then downtown they had a Cotton Club, didn't they, Flood?
That was later.
Later.
Yeah, moved in the late 30s, moved down there. Yeah.
Not a movie, I mean the nightclub. Yeah. I'm talking about nightclub.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's all I know.
I got plenty of questions for you. And this notorious Eleanor Lee. Mm. Now, do you remember this guy Herbert Julian?
Yeah.
Tell me about him. Not many
Colonel Julian?
Yeah, not many people know much about him.
I think he died, didn't he?
Yeah.
He died, Flood.
Yeah.
You mean the Black Eagle?
Yeah.
Yeah, he went to Europe. That's all I know.
Now, he was part of this show, though, I read.
He
put up the money or something.
He was in the show.
Was going to
he was in the
co-produce it with Oscar Michaud or something.
Yeah, that's right. You got that right. He was in there.
Do you remember, I'm floating around here, but it's just as the questions come, I'll ask them. Do you remember when you're being with Michaud, do you have any stories about something interesting or exciting that happened on the set or some, you know, if I say, tell me about acting in Notorious Eleanor Lee, for example, with Robert Earl Jones or somebody like that. Do you have any?
Anything that happened?
Yeah.
Anything?
Any stories? Yeah, either among the performers or with Michaud or
well,
that
we
shed
all,
some
we
light
all,
on.
We all worked together very nicely.
Yeah.
We all worked together, and Michaud, he didn't favor one no more than he did the other. We was all his performers, and we worked for him, and he treated us that way.
Now, when you worked on this, like, during the day, was this a full 8-10 hour days? Just you go on and on and on?
We started at 8 o'clock. We had an hour for lunch, and we finished about 5 or 6 o'clock.
What did you do for lunch? I mean, what did you do?
You had to just go out and buy yourself a sandwich or something like that. They didn't give you anything to eat, not Michaud. Goldberg did, you know, but Michaud, no, he couldn't afford that.
Uh-huh.
You had to get to work, wear your own clothes, buy your own food and everything else for Michaud. But he was struggling. He was really struggling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes some people say that they take a look at these old Michaud films and say, well, they were kind of funny because they had so little money that they were poorly made. And I'm
a stereotype.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were. They shot them so fast that everything looked like it was going like this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And you just, what could you do? That's the way the cameraman, he didn't have any more experience than anybody else. Michaud wasn't taking the picture.
Uh-huh.
He had a man there that was taking the pictures, but he would tell him what to do. you know, but he just did it so fast,
the
you know, in those
man.
Days.
Yeah,
yeah, the camera. Everybody
no, no, what?
In those days, in those days, the cameraman, he wasn't first class because the unions downtown, they didn't let them in there. They didn't, they had to get their experience from this trial and error.
Yeah, that's,
you know?
That's it.
And when you got a good cameraman down there, it was just by luck that you got
that you got one. That's right.
Now, now, these cameramen that Michelle used, were they black?
Yeah.
They were?
Yeah, yeah.
The crew members for Michelle were black?
Yes. All the crews were black. Everybody was black, yeah.
But they didn't have the finesses you would get from, say you go to MGM now with all them guys down there, they experts on cameras, but these guys were just hitting error.
Yeah.
Do you remember what happened to any of these guys? Or? Would
you
come and go? And
no.
I haven't seen or heard any more.
We'd have the same one throughout the picture, if that's what you meant. They wouldn't be changing.
Oh, no, I mean, say a different picture would be a different guy or
different
cameraman. Yeah, different cameraman.
Maybe
this
guy done got mad. He ain't got enough money.
He's gone. Yeah, you know what I mean. So that's the way it happened, yeah. That was funny.
Yeah, he
wouldn't.
That's sweet. This guy, he worked this time, he said, well, I won't be here next time, but I ain't getting no money.
Well, he couldn't afford to pay, you know. But he always paid us, I will say that about him.
Oh, yeah?
Yes, we always got paid,
well,
how little it was. Yeah. But every
you
promise, you got it. Yeah?
Yeah.
Yes, you got it.
Well, how long did it take to get it?
Oh, so it wasn't always that day, huh?
Yeah.
It wasn't
no.
That you worked the day, or when the picture finished, you had to check. No,
no,
no. You had to wait.
You had to wait, yeah.
So he could get some money to give.
Yeah.
But he would pay you. He had a word. He had a good word, though.
Yeah.
He was all right with me.
What about things like lighting and stuff like that? Did he direct all of that, or did he use much of it? Or?
Yeah, we had pretty good lighting. He had bulbs on the floor there, and if he was in somebody's house with the chandelier, he'd light up all the lights in that, you know, like in the dining room or something to light up the set.
Uh-huh.
He'd do that, and then he'd have little things on the floor when he put
did
it
he
down.
Did he direct all of that?
Yeah, he placed them where he wanted them to be.
Mm-hmm. Did he have like grips and gaffers working for him doing that too?
Yeah.
How many people, technicians, would you say on a set?
I see the cameraman and the assistant director, and wardrobe mistress. We only had about three people. That's all. Yeah, with our costumes and things. No hairdresser, nothing like that.
And Alice Russell would be there?
Yeah, and she'd show you how to make up your face and like that, you know, how she wanted you.
Uh-huh.
But we had no special people for nothing like that.
I found Michelle's niece, his last living relative in Pasadena.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, her name is Verna.
How
Verna
old
Crow.
Is she?
She's about, she's in her mid-60s.
Oh, yeah.
It was his sister's daughter.
Oh.
You know, Michelle was one of 11 children.
He was?
And of those 11 children, they only had two children.
Oh,
all those 11 people.
All 11
people. Yeah. Because Michelle never had any children.
Oh, I never saw anybody.
Yeah. So, now.
Wasn't he a minister or something at one time?
There was another guy by the name of,
It wasn't Oscar Michelle.
It wasn't Oscar Michelle. People get them mixed up.
Yeah.
To what extent, here's a theoretical black history question, I guess. To what extent did you get the feeling that when you were making these films that you were doing something important? Did you have that feeling? Did you?
You mean starting something new?
Yeah, starting something new.
Starting something new. Well.
Or maybe the better way of saying it is that did you feel that there was, like, by doing these films with Michelle?
Yeah.
Was there a kind of a contribution being made here to
something
showing
uplifting.
Black life the way it
something
is, uplifting?
Uplifting.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I felt like, well, we're getting a little higher up, in other words. You know, that they're not stereotyped doing the same thing that you'd go for MGM or something, or you'd be as a maid,
mm-hmm.
or this or that, you mm-hmm. know. But you were outstanding in his pictures, you see. And if he had a scene in there where he had to use somebody that was a servant in the picture, he wouldn't take anybody just because they were black and make them a servant. You see, they could be any color, my color, anybody else's color. You know, he wouldn't just say like they did Butterfly McLean and go on with the wind.
Right.
Remember? He
right.
said no. He said, well, anybody could do that part. You don't have to say that he's a servant, you know,
mm-hmm.
he's a waiter or things like that. He classified everybody nice. He wanted to make people look like they were somebody. Do things, uplifting. You understand?
Yeah.
That's the way he was with his performance. It's like,
how would you respond to the charge that, and this is made, I remember, by a guy by the name of Theophilus Lewis, who was a drama critic for Amsterdam News.
I remember his name.
He maintained that Michaud always favored using his heroes the light-skinned blacks as opposed to black skin.
He did. Like I told you. Yes, he did. Amsterdam News didn't like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, naturally they didn't like it.
Mm-hmm.
Because of all they saw at that time was Hattie McDaniels and Louise Beavers and people like that. And they had those type of people. You
mm-hmm.
understand?
Mm-hmm.
And even when I went to William Keeley, he got me in all these other pictures. When I was working with Joan Blondell in the Bullets of Ballads and things like that, I was the hairdresser in there for Joan Blondell. I was fixing her hair.
That was your role in the movie?
That was what I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
See, I was supposed to be she'd come in the studio, and I was supposed to fix her hair.